Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
Yo,
yo,
ah, now,
fucker.
Tune in to Al Joe, the funk master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock that cold faster. Talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfucker.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps. I got a special, extra special guest today. She is my queen.
Yes, yes, that's me.
Rebecca Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
The lovely Rebecca Cruz. I think we got to do something about that last name, right, fellas?
Yeah, we'll see when that happens.
All right, we won't get into that.
Yeah. That's for, like, behind the scenes, not now.
But how has your week been?
My week?
Productive? I
mean, the week just started.
This is true.
Yeah.
What about last weekend?
I went back to work.
Okay.
I was out of work for 3 weeks, so that was cool.
So what have you been doing last week, though? How was work? Like, was anything different?
Work was very different. Before I left work, things were a little bit more calmer. And then now everything was, like, crazy. Everyone suited up head to toe. And it was just a whole different vibe. Like
hazmat suits?
Yeah, I couldn't tell who was who. I had to, like, get close to everyone's, like, badge and see, like, who everyone was. But it's a whole different vibe. Like, everyone's anxiety was, like, through the roof, and it was just different.
Now let's just get right into it, because before I wanted to kind of talk about what you were watching, TV shows, but instead I wanted to talk about Ozark. Personally, I wanted to talk about Ozark, but instead we'll get into the main thing that we wanted to talk about, which was you were obviously working at a hospital over in Northwell.
We'll just say Northwell.
Northwell. So you're working at Northwell Hospital, and I know you came back home. You know, you've been staying with me for a couple of weeks, and I've been taking care of the old baby girl, and cooking, cleaning, you know, provider. No big deal. And unfortunately, this was like almost like right after I came back from Vegas, like 2 days after we went out to Arugas or Arangas, however you say their name. The restaurant down in Arugas in RVC.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we hung out, you know, put a couple of stuff in the air, you know, all that good stuff, all that. And we had some food, had some drinks, we came back. And I want to say shortly after that, maybe a day or two, you started showing symptoms of COVID.
Corona. I know you want to say it so bad.
The Roro. I wanted to call it the Roro.
So that's so ratchet. It's no, ro-ro.
You got that ro-ro. You ain't got the Rona. You got that ro-ro. But, so yeah. I mean, you had the ro-ro. Mm. And you were out of work. Sorry, let me move this over for you. And it was weird because obviously we were with each other. We were kind of hanging out, doing boyfriend, girlfriend activities.
Yeah.
And clearly you were working at the hospital and stuff, and obviously I'm being around you, and we're just now getting wind of everything. So when that all happens and you start showing symptoms, you're not feeling good. So just walk me through the first few days, like what you were feeling like were you fatigued, or did you feel like you had a fever right out of the gate?
Okay. So let me try to collect everything. I didn't feel anything for that entire week after Arugas. Like, I was fine. I went to work. After we went to the bar, that was, like, the last time I went out. So between that time and I felt my first symptom, I had just been home and work, nowhere else.
Yeah.
So, and so that was a whole week before I felt any symptoms. I went to Eisenhower Park for a run, and I totally underdressed that day. It was really cold, and I went with Jen, actually. And So I was running and I felt like I was so out of shape. And I'm like, am I this out of shape? Or like, because my lungs just felt really just off. And so they were burning. Like, I feel like just like 2 minutes in, I was so out of breath already. I'm like, what on earth? And it was really cold. And I felt myself get like a head cold. And I told Jen, I was like, you know what? Let's wrap up. Let's go. Yeah. Like, so when I went home, that headache just got worse and worse. And then that night, I had chills. And then that's when I took my temperature. And my temperature was at like 99.8, I think. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's when it all started.
So I couldn't imagine what that feels like. I don't think I've ever actually had the flu, like, growing up, to be honest. And I know we've talked about this. Like, I haven't gotten any, like, vaccination shots, like the flu season, like everyone does, especially you said something along the lines of anyone that works in the hospital has to get the flu shot every year.
It's like mandatory. And if you don't get it, you have to wear a mask like all the time.
Wow.
Like, it cannot come off.
Only during flu season or for the entire
just
time
year round, but especially flu season.
Wow.
So when you do get your flu shot, they give you like the the year. And you have it on your badge, so everyone sees that, like,
you got the pass.
Yeah. You're good, so.
Yeah, so I've never actually experienced those symptoms, like, for anything before. So that's why I was wondering when you were saying, like, you felt shortness of breath. I couldn't really understand or put myself in that situation, like, to understand what that even feels like. I know we feel shortness of breath sometimes when we're working out.
Yeah.
Like, you feel exhausted from a hard workout. Like, you've been sitting on the couch, you haven't worked out for like mad long, just to say like a month. And you try to come back, you normally feel like your heart and your lungs are trying to come out through your throat. And that's when it can get very tricky, because I am confusing that feeling with what you might be feeling. I'm like, you'd be all right. So this is me seeing you. I'm like, I think you'd be all right. I don't think you have anything
That's how I felt, which I didn't think anything of it because I suffer from migraines, you know. So,
all the time.
Yeah. And so I felt that coming on. I'm like, damn, this run outside, it was kind of cold. I was underdressed. I was like, maybe that's what it was. I didn't think anything of it. And when I went home, all I had was Advil. So the first thing I did when I came home from a run was I popped two Advils. And sure enough, my mom was in the kitchen. She was like, you know, you shouldn't be taking the Advil. They just said that the Advil, like, triggers the virus if you have it. And I'm like, fuck that. Like, my head's hurting. Let me take it. I went to bed. And as I'm scrolling through my phone, I'm seeing all this corona stuff. And I'm like, all right, I have a headache. You know, and then I started crossing everything out and I'm like, you know what, let me just take my temperature. And then that's when it said 99.8. And I'm like, that's when I started packing everything up. And I was like, you know what? I was like, let me just go over Alja's house just in case.
It came in and bunked up with me. She shacked up with me and said, I'm sick. You sick too.
Well, okay. So, joking, no lie. Joking. Like, in the back of my head, I was like, you know, it could be this. I have no idea, but I packed stuff up for like, I was like, I don't know if it's this, like, I don't know how long I'm going to be gone for. And like, what if I like never come back? Like, I started thinking all this crazy stuff. Like, so I cleaned up my room. I like made sure I organized everything. And then I took my stuff here. And then on my way here is when I stopped at Rite Aid. Well, no, I stopped at like three different pharmacies to get medication. And everything was sold out. Like, everything. I couldn't find Tylenol anywhere. I couldn't find Robitussin. I couldn't find Theraflu, anything. So I think it was like the third pharmacy, the Rite Aid down the street from here.
Yeah.
That's where I picked up a Robitussin, and it was one per person. So I found that there, thankfully. And then I also found Tylenol. So then I brought those two with me. I'm like, let me just stock up just in case. And then so I came here. And then after that, things just started getting worse and worse.
Like, so, like, can you explain some of the symptoms you felt like say day 3, 4, 5, 6? Like, obviously not to like day 1, I felt like this, but like just overall how you felt, like some of the symptoms, like achy pains or anything like that, or
honestly, it's annoying because this virus is just so different. I knew I had it because my body just felt different. I had the flu once in my life, and I think I was like 13 or 14 when I got it. And this was very different from the flu. This was some, I just knew my body was off. Like, what didn't I feel? I mean, I had a headache. I was sneezing here and there. I got a little runny nose, but it was nothing crazy.
Yeah.
I had the fever. And then my joints were like hurting a lot. And
I like to call you the super senses, where you can smell anything from down the block.
Yeah.
So that was one of the other things you said.
I forgot about that. That was like day five of feeling symptoms. I lost my taste and smell completely.
Like, so when you're eating like hot sauce or something like that, do you not even recognize what you're eating?
Well, that day, I had a late lunch that day because I slept in. And I remember thinking, like, all right, I actually really want, like, Jersey Mike. So we ordered the Jersey Mike's, and then we get it. And I took my first bite, and I tasted nothing. I'm like, this is trash. Like, what do you mean? And then that's when my results were still pending. I didn't know if I had it or not.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I was like, oh, shit, now we really got this now.
The disappointment.
I couldn't taste anything. And, you know, Jersey Mike's, like, you know, they drench it with, like, vinegar and oregano. And that's really strong. I couldn't taste it, and I couldn't smell it at all. And I remember just, like, putting the whole sandwich on the counter. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And then a few days after is when I tested positive. I called in, and he told me. And then that was a whole nother experience.
And that was, like, Friday.
Yeah, so I waited like a good, I think it was 4 days, 5 days to get my results.
So now with work, like for you to get off, because obviously they weren't testing everybody. It's hard to get a test unless you're like really, really sick and bedridden almost to that extent. That's what it seems like on TV and stuff. And from what you're saying or have told me. So I forgot where I was even asking. Damn.
Getting tested. And with my job and all
that. Oh, with your job. Yes. So what I was trying to figure out, like, you go to work and then you call in, and do you tell them like, hey, I'm not feeling well? Do you go in and show up and say, hey, I'm not feeling well, and then they send you home? Or do you just call in and tell them you're not feeling well? And like, so, because they don't know that you have it, right? Yeah. So do they just automatically say, you know what, just stay home, take the days off?
So when I started with my symptoms, this at my job wasn't being taken seriously. And I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that.
Well, yeah, we'll leave it in the gray area.
Yeah.
Not even your job. I think a lot of people weren't taking
it seriously. So at the time, like the last week that I was at work, they had just told us, like, my management was like, all right, guys, now you guys got to start wearing a surgical mask. Like, now it's mandatory.
Yeah.
Like, that was the week before I got sick. So I basically had no protection at all. Like, people were coughing on me, probably on my clothes and all that. And
touching the paperwork.
Yeah. And so when I got sick, I didn't know what to do. I felt kind of like, so do I call my job? Like, I don't know if I'm positive or negative. I don't know. So I started calling urgent cares. I called the hotline for New York, which was crazy. Some girl picked up and she was just like, what are your symptoms? How old are you? And like, what's your job? Like, what do you do? So she took my symptoms down. She was like, we'll call you back to give you an appointment. So that was an appointment to go to one of the drive-thrus in Jones Beach, I think. And they never called me back. I called 4 different urgent cares, Pro House. They said that they were all out of
the test.
And so I'm just like, at this point, we're like day 3, day 4, and I couldn't get an exam anywhere. Like,
yeah,
a test anywhere.
But you didn't go to work during those
days. Happened to be off those
that
2
weekend.
Days. I called out because I wasn't feeling good. So I called out. It was a regular sick day for me. So then that's when I called employee health because I'm part of a union, and a rep told me to call employee health. And she was like, tell them exactly what's going on. So, yeah, employee health handled everything from there. And she was like, you're going to get tested tomorrow. Call this number. Go. Blah, blah, blah. So I went. And that was a whole nother experience. Like, this whole thing is just like a whole like crazy experience. But.
Yeah. The way you explained it sounded like some, like James Bond secret mission. Like, you're trying to be in stealth mode, like a hitman type of thing, and going through to get the test and then go out through the back door type of thing. So that whole experience is crazy. I couldn't imagine what that felt like for you. And obviously, I'm not the boyfriend of the year who knows how to cook and knows how to do all these great things. I mean, I can make some eggs and some mean waffles in the oven. So, and I could put a mean drizzle and style of syrup on there too. But that's really as far as my cooking skills go. I mean, I could make rice, but I might burn it for the first couple of times because I haven't cooked it forever.
That's how you learn, trial and error.
Yeah. But yeah, so I did my best, but seeing you bedridden like that was really, really tough for me. Because I'm like, not bedridden, because you weren't like completely immobilized. But
thank God, yeah.
Yeah, so you were still able to walk around on your own, but you weren't feeling the greatest, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely felt like shit for sure. I felt so much at once. But good thing, yeah, I was able to, you know, still move around. I was still able to cook for myself because if I don't cook for myself, I don't know how this is going to work out. Because, you know, waffles, it's not that nutritious. So, no, thank God that, yeah, I was able to do that. And things got real weird once I started getting the shortness of breath. That's when shit got real scary. And I'm like, and I started feeling that almost a week in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so this isn't ending anytime soon. Like, this is just getting, like, this, I feel like it just started a weekend.
So can you, like, how did that feel? Like, when you were sleeping, like, during the middle of the day, if you're just sitting down, like, kind of, like, daydreaming, was it bothering you, like, at random times, constantly?
It was the worst. Like, I would never wish this upon anyone. It was the worst. Like, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't. Like, even, like, trying to shower and, like when I tried to scrub my hair, I was out of breath. At one point, I had to put one arm on the wall and, like, take a breather. Or, like, just trying to talk and, like, trying to talk to you. Like, remember, like, when I would try to talk to you and I would have to, like, all right, give me a second. And, like, I felt like I was gasping for air. And, like, or, I like, going up the stairs, it felt like I had ran, like, 10 miles. Like, my heart would be out my chest.
Yeah.
And it was sucky. It wasn't fun at all. Yeah, not fun.
It attacks the lungs, the respiratory system. So,
So I think I might have had an early stage of pneumonia. I'm not sure. So I was given a Z-Pak to take, like a weekend.
Yeah.
And then I was also given albuterol and the inhaler, which helped me a lot, which, you know, it's medication that opens up your lungs. Because I called my doctor and I was just like, I can't breathe. Like, I need something. So she was like, all right, let me put that order in for you, pick it up, and then, like, let me know how you feel. And, yeah, so that helped me a lot. And I'm still here. So.
We made it through the fire. That was a really scary part. And for me, obviously, you know, we got the UFC, you know, the NBA teams are done, you know, NHL, all those sports, baseball, everything's on pause. And the only people who are still trying to go or that are going were MMA promotions and WWE. And of course, we had the fights in Brazil where there was no fans allowed to attend the arena whatsoever. And they went through with it. And then things got progressively worse. And now here I am trying to do. I'm fielding messages from people talking about, oh, your fight with Corey Sandhagen. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? There is no fight. I don't have a contract. Like, how can there be a fight without a contract? So yeah, everything before that is all hearsay. And she said, he said, whatever. Cause obviously I asked for multiple people. He's probably asking for different people, or maybe he's just asking for me. I don't know. So going through all that, honestly, I forgot once again, like, how did I start talking about fighting? I don't even know.
Oh, my goodness.
How did we get here?
Talking about, like, WWE and, like, the UFC. And,
yeah, but I forget what was my point of even bringing that
up. Well, I think you were getting there, so I was, like, trying to follow you. Like, yeah, well, where are you getting at with this?
They're still having events and promotions. So for me to want to talk about, like, in a positive light, like, okay, I can do this fight knowing that I have no training partners. My girlfriend said, because of the pandemic, that people are still trying to say selfishly as fans that you guys should still fight. Yeah. Or you got some of the crazy fans saying, you're a bitch or you're a pussy and scared and all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
But you got the educated ones who know, like, dude, this is a serious thing. People probably were affected or somehow, some way. So then I'm dealing with that. And I'm like, I do want to fight. I have no one who wants to train with me. My girlfriend is sick. So at the same time she's sick, I'm like, well, that puts me at risk for maybe getting somebody else sick. So I got to contemplate all these things before I even talk about taking a fight. Like, I can't do anything like whatsoever. Lord knows I could have gotten sick the same way, you know, just helping out. And it could have been even worse. But that was my whole thing with that. And people are talking, like, trying to take the fights and trying to have all this stuff going. And now it's on pause, but they're going to resume again in May 9th. I mean, I would imagine that there's been a couple of fighters who pulled from these fight cards, like pulled out with due to injury, pulled out because they were they had that Roni. They had that Roni. Lyman Good just came out.
For sure.
You know Lyman Good? He fought Tiger Shulman's big jack guy, 170 pounder. He's freaking solid, like a chiseled something statue. Yep. But he pulled out of a fight that was supposed to happen. I forget where it was. Man, I forget the card that it was on. By the way, he pulled out of the fight. And in my head, I'm about to comment. They said, Lyman Good pulls out of the fight for injury. I was going to comment, but it sounds like someone got that Roni. But I was like, you know what? Let me not even do that, because that's a serious thing. Like, I don't know what he's feeling. And then for me, it wasn't real until I start seeing people closer to home. Then it's like, ah, yo, this shit can get us too. Because before it was just the old folks. Then next thing you know, you start seeing younger people in your church, in the 40s, 30s, even people that are technically deemed fit. And them still getting sick. So when I see all those things and I factor all that in, I'm like, yeah, this is a really tough ass to want to do that. And for me, mentally going in, knowing that, you know, I'm trying to prepare for a fight where it's such a selfish sport, I'm like, I can't be selfish right now. I got to wait till everything's taken care of before I can even think about that. So I think I do deserve a little pat on the back for that. I'm going to do it for you. Don't worry.
I deserve a pat on my back for cooking for myself.
You didn't cook for yourself all the time.
Yes, I did.
I ordered food.
Would you cook a waffle for me? You can't cook a waffle.
I picked up food.
I made breakfast. Thank you, babe. You are amazing.
I wash clothes.
You're amazing.
I wash clothes.
Yeah. So did I.
I got her TP. I'm the MVP. I don't care what nobody says.
Well, going back to that, I felt crappy because obviously I came here to isolate myself here and not put my parents at risk, but I put you at risk too. And so it was crappy to know that, like, obviously
is that selfish shit.
It was about time.
Motherfucking selfish out here.
So obviously that was in the back of my mind. Like, all right, you know, if an opportunity comes, like the ethical thing, the right thing to do is tell the UC, like, listen, my girlfriend has been sick at my house. And so how does this work out with, you know?
Yeah. So. And I think the biggest question mark about it is, like, even recently, I mean, you could talk about that if you want, but just from my experience with people who have had it and then get over it and then people see them out in public type of thing, they kind of get almost scrutinized or looked at as like the unspoken evil, like no one wants to, like the elephant in the room that no one wants to address. Like, anything you touch, we gotta Lysol this down, or we gotta wipe this down, or I gotta make sure I touch it with the inside of my shirt. Like, for me, knowing that situation happened, I wanted to keep it under wraps, but I had some people, like teammates and stuff, saying I should like talk about it and tell you to talk about it so that you can share your experience. I was like, but bro, it's not my story to tell. You know, if she wants to share it, she will share it based on the backlash that she might get. Other than that, I'm like, I don't think she's being like evil in her decisions, because at the end of the day, you're home. You're not going anywhere. So you're doing what the CDC recommended. You quarantine yourself for 14 days, and the whole thing, 3 days without a fever and the other symptoms that you're not feeling. So I understood all that. So to me, it's like, I don't need to disclose that to anybody, because I'm the one that's actually going out. I'm not sick. I'm taking care of her. Just because I'm taking care of her, they thought automatically, because I was taking care of you,
the whole gym was freaking out.
Like, roasting me. I'm like, yo, bro, I don't think just being in the vicinity of somebody and them just talking, unless they spitting while they're talking or something, and I'm inhaling, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like,
I mean, I get it. I understand.
It was just very like, Like, yo, relax. Can you guys be positive about it?
Spread like wildfire. Let me tell you.
I told my roommate. Mm-hmm. My roommate told my other roommate. And then that roommate told everybody at the gym. Like, what the fuck?
The one roommate's been MIA for 2 months.
And he didn't even come back. So he went, spread out rumors and stuff without even confirming or asking.
Basically, the whole world found out without me, like, wanting the world to... I'm over at this point. Like, I decided to do this video because I want people to use it as like, yo, this shit is real. Like, you know, I would like to say I'm pretty healthy. I work out a lot. I eat pretty healthy for the most part. I think my immune system is pretty good.
A1.
And I think because my immune system was pretty strong, I think my body was able to fight it so that it didn't completely take over my respiratory system. Because if not, I'd probably be
incubated.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be here right now. And so thankfully, I was able to get through it. It was some real shit. It was scary. I'm 29 and to be gasping for air is not fun. So I can't imagine, you know, all these older people or people with like underlying issues going through the same thing. Like, no wonder it's killing people like scary. Left and right, you know, like. You know, this I feel like this virus is just meant to like just kill everyone like completely.
Yeah. And I do think the people who are at a lower totem pole in life, and I don't want to call it totem pole, but that's the best way, like social class, I guess. So not everyone has the financial means to eat healthy and to keep themselves clean. You know, some people have to resort to like fast food and stuff like that. Yeah. And, you know, eating out on a daily, stuff with high sodium that leads to high blood pressure and all this other stuff, diabetes. So I would imagine like people who are in those low social classes would probably have a little bit more difficult time recovering from something like this, where someone who's more fortunate can afford it and they can pay for these things. They could get, they reap the benefits of just being in a better social class in life. So it's tough. And I see a lot of people in poverty. I know the whole thing that happened with the people in Chicago, and a lot of minorities were the ones that were being killed from the virus. And I think that says something about just wealth and health, this wealth in your health all around, just being able to take care of yourself, because longevity, as they always say, your health is your wealth, you know? And I truly do believe in that. And I know you probably say I eat like shit a lot of times, but
you do eat like shit though, so.
I try to make up for it with working out, doing extra cardio and things. Obviously, it's going to catch up eventually at some point, but I still think I do a pretty good job of...
Yeah, you're an athlete, and I think your immune system is pretty strong, but you should definitely look into cleaning up your...
You're a juicer now.
Oh my God, I became a juicer. Listen, I did everything that I could to...
The ginger tea, all the homemade remedies.
Virus. Let me just put it out there that I upped my vitamin C. I bought vitamin D. I ordered so much stuff from Amazon. Oh my God, I was just so nervous. Like, I treated this like I was going to die. Like, I was like, I need to do everything possible to beat this. And so I had a lot of ginger teas.
What do you make with the ginger tea?
So remember I sent you to buy ginger root. So I would cut that up and I would boil that. I would put oregano oil in it. I put pieces of garlic in it, which is really good. And what else? I was putting so much in my teas, and I was having those teas like 4 times a day.
Did you use honey and lemon or?
Oh yeah, honey, lemon, of course.
Both?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would put that all in there, and then I would just have it, and I would make it really strong with the ginger, and it really, really, really helped me. I was eating well for the most part. I had a lot of fruits, a lot of apples, bananas. I had kiwi and pineapple. Pineapple and ginger were, I think, my lifesavers, because I had such a bad migraine. Like, it just went away like maybe a week ago. That was terrible. Like, I was walking around the house with sunglasses, and I told Aljo, I'm like, I can't take this anymore. Like, this is killing me.
Is that a residual effect?
Yeah. So after I lost, like after everything else went away, I just had a cough and that. It was just unbearable. Any kind of light sounds was killing me. But the ginger helped with that, and also pineapple. Pineapple actually calmed it down a lot, which come to find out, it's because it has a natural enzyme.
Yeah.
And it
is
really
the
Bryomelain or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Don't quote us, but it's something like that.
And it really, really helped. Because I was like, I do not want to keep taking Tylenol. Like, I want to give my body a rest. And so I'm like, let me just try to just look up and Google like these natural remedies. And it was hard. I was like, I can't wait to get over this. But yeah. And I juiced my kale, my apple, beets. What didn't I juice? And I was just drinking that like every day.
Yeah. Like I remember when we watch Ozark, we binge watch all three seasons within her quarantine period, her 14 days. And I'll be on that side of the couch, she'd be on this side of the couch. I have my blanket, she has her blanket, she has her cup of tea, ginger tea. I got my cup of ginger tea that she like the leftovers in the pot. And that's how we watch shows. I'm like, we did everything from a distance, which was kind of weird because it's just like sad. Like it's time for her to go home. She had to go to her bedroom and I slept out here on the couch, or I could have slept in the basement. But I figured to just watch TV, watch my videos. Cause I was doing a lot of do it yourself videos, like stuff for the house. And I was watching a lot of that, which helped out a lot. No big deal. I'm gonna show you guys my work when I'm done. And the garage, I'm very proud of it. Proud man. And
that's pretty good.
Yeah, so that was a very interesting period. As soon as the time, like, we're done, all right, I'm going to bed. It's like, all right, good night. Bye.
Yeah, it was definitely sucky. It was just a horrible time. And honestly, I feel like mentally you have to be good when you're going through this, too. I was stuck in a room. It's one thing being quarantined, and then it's another being isolated. So, like, being in that room all day, I couldn't even turn the TV or my phone on because the brightness was just killing my head. And so it's like I didn't know what to do with myself, like,
yeah.
And it gets lonely, it gets like depressing, and then you get lost in your thoughts because I pick up my phone and the first thing I'm seeing is, well, this person died, all the news is about the virus, and I'm like, am I gonna fucking die? Like, all I kept thinking was, I'm huge on prayer, like, I'm huge on prayer, so like I would put my little gospel music on and I would pray, and I would like literally pray and say, I'm not ready, like I'm not ready to go, like I'm not ready at all, and like help me fight through this, and I kept praying because I could do nothing else, and it helped. So like the people calling me, the people texting me, like that really helps. It helps. So like if you know someone who's an essential worker, you know they work in the hospital, don't wait until someone posts like this person's sick with it or like they're in the hospital. Like, don't wait. Just check up on your friends. Check up on your family. How you doing? Like, this is the time to like support each other, even if it's your neighbor.
Especially if you know.
Yeah. Or if you know, like cook something at home, drop something at their front door. Like, this is the time to come together. I mean, obviously still social distancing, but it's crazy. Like, I feel like what I went through was something mild compared to what other people are going through. And it was scary. It got real lonely, and it's quick to just be like, yo, this is it. I had people calling me, texting me, like literally talking to me, like giving me like their final words, like, girl, I'm so sorry. And like, yo, if I don't see you again. No, it was scary. It was so scary. And then people were just being weird about it, and I get it. Like, some people like don't want to talk about it, and I don't know.
I think it's just weird to act like you don't know what you do know, because then it just looks really silly.
Yeah, some people definitely knew that I had it, and then were acting like they didn't know. And I'm just like, how about you ask me? Like, I don't know. People are just really weird. But yeah, I just check up on your people, because don't be that person to like not check up on the person, and then they get sick, and then like something happens to them, and then like you're over here posting a picture of them with a whole essay like, that was my girl, you know, I can't believe this. And like,
yeah,
people want to hear you say things when they're alive, not when they're gone. And yeah.
Yeah. Instead of judged by 12 and carried by 6. Ain't nobody want that. And ain't nobody carrying nobody, because you dying alone if you die.
It's scary. There's so many people around me, friends, family, who are being affected by this. I know so many people already who've passed from this already. And It's real. It's scary. I don't know when this is going to end. And it's sad that some people are still taking this as a joke. And you just have to be safe. Be safe and I don't know.
But can I do want to ask you, I did want to ask you this as well. Like, even after your 14-day period, according to CDC, you're supposed to be, like, good and ready to go. Like, you could go back into society like you were once before, like, before you even got sick. So, even for now, like, do you find it weird, like, for like, being around some people that you do know that might be still treating you like you have, like, you're the walking plague?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be that. I'm going to be that person.
You don't have to. Yeah, I would say you don't have to say no names, but
yeah. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. It sucks. You know, it kind of gets me sad a little. Cause I'm like, yo, I'm really going to be that person that walks into a room and like the whole room is just like
separates.
But like, I get it. Listen, you know what? Yeah. There's so much unknown about this virus and I don't blame people. Like we still don't know how long you're contagious for, like, even if you stop showing symptoms, even if you stopped having that fever, like, so according to CDC, I'm good. Like, I'm out of the woods. I'm supposed to be like good, you know?
Yeah.
But who knows? I don't know. So
I wasn't expecting you to say that.
I don't know. But listen.
I was going the other way, man.
I thought
you're back to society. Back to
No, I'm just being real. Like, I'm just, you know,
you really don't know though.
You really don't know, so I think it's okay to take the extra like
precaution.
Just in case, but
I don't know about you.
I'm already back at work. I was told I'm cleared. I got to go back to work.
And that's my point. So it's like you're cleared. You're back around. You're back in work with people who are technically not sick or might have even had it while you were away and probably around the same time or something. Who knows? So when I see that, it's like, well, if you guys are going by the guidelines of CDC, then technically you shouldn't be treating me like I'm the walking place to like before. I could be like, I understand, like, you don't know if I have it, I might have it. You don't know, yo, what you got over there? You got a mask on? I don't know. What you touching? Yeah, you washing hands?
Yeah.
So it's like so many different emotions you feel, but once you've had it and you've recovered, I would think that you would be my least concern going into a room and be like, ah, oh, you good now. You went through the fire. You back on the other side. You good. You still here. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like that. And I've got friends, like some of my best friends who've got family, like uncles and parents and stuff that are, you know, affected by them. So definitely praise to you guys for sure. And your loved ones. So I get it. I don't know if I would feel offended, but I kind of would feel a little bit of a way like, yo, man, I might as well not even go hang out with nobody if that's the case.
Yeah.
I would rather just stay in my own space. That's me personally.
It's weird.
You're going to treat me like I still got the Roni.
I mean, it's shitty for me, you know, because I'm the one who is sick. So, yeah, I feel like for a while, everyone's going to be like.
Like, yo, did you hear about Becca? Wait, yo, don't get too close.
The only place that like, I'll be accepted like for a while like is the hospital.
Yeah, which is insane to me because if they're still around,
but
you, so
everyone for a while is gonna be like, nah, you're not welcome here, girl. You can't.
As long as you're not bringing the clothes that you're wearing at the hospital to them, like obviously that's completely different. But you're changing, you're showering, you're doing all the right precautions, you're washing your hands.
Everything comes off at the door, straight to the wash. I go straight to the shower, and now we're really protected at work. So I have a hair cap. I'm covered from neck all the way down. I have shoe covers, gloves. So my clothes that I wear in the car, like, don't even touch anything.
Yeah.
My scrubs stay at work, and I get new ones every time I go to work. So I feel so much, like, I feel good.
Yeah. So I was wondering, like, people don't know how that looks. I mean, this, you guys got pictures and stuff that you posted.
Yeah.
But definitely a lot of, like, love to you guys who are on the front line, because I know me personally, like, I couldn't be a doctor for that reason, because I would never want to have someone's surgery in my hands, someone's life in my hands, replacing a heart, replacing a brain, or little things like that. And now even doing this, like, you're putting yourself at risk to now take this home to, again, your loved ones. And most of these doctors, a lot of them, at least the ones that I see, are relatively older, you know? So it's tough to see how easily, like, people could be so unforgiving and not really paying attention to what you guys do on a day-to-day basis for other people to live a quality life, you know, mm-hmm. or a healthy life or a better life, you know, whenever something goes wrong. So that was just my only thing that I wanted to say about that. So definitely I tip my cap to you guys. Thank you. Take a bow.
One thing I want to say, you know what's so sad and like just really gets my head going, and just, you know how you have space and room in your house here. So like I was able to stay in one room. I had my own bathroom to myself pretty much. There's people in the city in apartments who live on top of each other. Like, so if one person gets it,
the whole building,
everyone's gonna get it. You know, and then people don't have the room. People don't have the luxury to have like their own bathroom. And like, no, everyone's got to be on top of each other, like share the same kitchen, the same bathroom. And that's scary. And that's really, really scary. And it breaks my heart that people are going through this right now.
It's trying times. That's why I said, man, it's like, I even posted it to my Instagram today. Oh yeah, happy 420, y'all. I already took an edible for y'all. Gummy bears.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I feel good right now. I feel great.
That's why your eyes are so shiny.
My eyes are real chinky right now.
Yours are so shiny.
But now you just made me, you just threw me for a loop again.
Oh.
I was talking about my gummy bears.
Oh, you posted something on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Damn, you're good at this. So I posted something to my IG today. Obviously, I made a little fun, like poking a little fun. Like, don't just be sitting there breathing up all this oxygen, this good old healthy oxygen, and eating food and just shitting all day. Like, what are you doing? Like, go do something productive. Go learn a new skill. Go learn a new craft. Like,
yeah.
One thing we cannot waste is time, because time does not come back for no man. So for people to just be squandering it, just playing video games all day, unless you're a professional video game player and you're sharpening your skills, okay. But the fact that a lot of people are just playing video games and not doing shit on the side to really be getting ahead in their hustle, that's what's disturbing to me. Either you're trying to lose weight, any type of fitness goal or real estate or education, learning trades. Because I taught myself how to drywall with Marab. He taught me that. And he taught me how to insulate with him, Will and Marab.
Yeah.
And then I taught myself on YouTube how to mud and tape. And then how to put a second and third coat on, sand it down, wet sanding. I learned all these little skills that you pay so much money for. And I did it myself for nothing but sweat equity and parts for material. So I learned that. I learned how to properly paint. And I just learned so much that now, for me, this is like me making money, because I'm putting equity into the house by upgrading it in certain areas. And I still got a lot of other stuff I want to do. I'm Bob the Builder now. Hit me up, slide in my DMs. I got you. I'll give you a quote.
No, you did a really good job.
Best prices in town. Thank you. I tried. But I think it's a time that you have to really capitalize on these moments. And I don't think there's any age necessarily for people to want to get up and try something new. I think it's always a good time to try something. I think the best bet, so you're not just jumping around and not getting anything accomplished, just starting every like 26 different things and not even getting close to the finish line on one. Write down the things you're interested in, the things that you don't like, maybe some things that you think you could be good in, rule some stuff out, and be open-minded. Don't just do this, the one few things. Like, there's got to be a couple of things that you like, that you find interest in, that you would want to learn more about. Or if you want to read more, or you want to learn about more real estate, or you want to learn about how to start a business or how to code and open up apps and stuff like that. So there's so much that could be done right now. And I think when people are just kind of sitting home all day, or they're sleeping in all day and just kind of using this time to just breathe oxygen.
Hey, that's been me.
Well, you've been sick and you work two jobs. So I think you get a pass, and you're still in school too. So you're doing a lot for nursing. So you definitely get a pass. You guys are still in school doing lectures and still have to take exams. So that makes sense. But I'm talking about the people who are literally home. It's like, oh, I'm off from work. And they're just sitting home. I'm like, so what are you going to do with this downtime?
I think it's true. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that advantage. People with kids are now losing their minds. Like, they're like ready to burn the house down. Like, it's a lot being home with like your children, and now kids have to do their work online, and like you have to try to sit your kid down, and like the attention span is like not there. Like,
yeah.
And you're cooking, and kids are running around all day. Like, that's a lot, you know? But for people who, like, don't have kids and you're just home on your own, like, I think you should use the time wisely for sure.
Yeah.
To do something. And then everyone, there's a lot of people talking about, like, oh, I'm getting fat and all this. And, like...
But you're my hands.
I think if anything, we should come out more healthier out of this quarantine than anything else. If you have the time to, like... work out or, you know, whatever.
I did an interview and I was talking about this. What's 20 minutes out of your day to work out 5 days a week? 20 minutes. Now, once you start getting into that routine, now let's try next week. Let's set another goal. Let's try to do at least 1 or 2 days and make it 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And now you're at least holding yourself accountable to realistic and tangible goals, as opposed to saying like you're going to work out for like X amount of hours, because that's a big piece. When you break it down, like, all right, let's just do 20 or 30 minutes today. Or today I just want to do 10 push-ups or 20 push-ups, maybe 4 sets or something simple that you can really achieve and still try to push yourself at the same time. I don't think everyone's going to be completely in shape, because people don't know what they're really doing, you know, unless you've been educated. But there's YouTube.
Instagram. All these people are on Instagram now posting all these kind of different videos. If you don't have equipment at home, use your gallon of milk or whatever you have laying around the house, and like use your couches and just all this like different stuff you can do in the house. But you have to find the time to do it, and it has to be in you to do it. And I think a lot of people are just stuffing their faces and not eating healthy, and people are going to come out of this really sick. And, yeah, that virus is still around, so.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully people start doing the right thing and taking better care of themselves. Because we already know, like, the virus, one, seems to take those out who are relatively in bad shape, you know, from the jump. So, that was my only thing. And now, you know, I was being funny about it, but at the same time, I was being serious. I just think there's a lot of time. There's never too young of a time for you to want to get rich or just grow mentally, like some type of knowledge. Like, there's something that you should want to attain for yourself. Otherwise, what are you living for if you don't have any type of goals or any type of aspirations? Write those goals down, write those aspirations down, and see if there's something or something you could do that can get you close to that, or at least something that you're going to be happy with, so that you don't come out of this like, damn, what the hell did I do in my last month, 2 months? Who knows how long we're going to be in this? 3 months. What did I do with 3 months of downtime? And the ones who are smart, thinking ahead, game planning, they're going to be ahead of the pack. And the other people are going to be sitting there complaining and saying, woe is me, and finding all the reasonings of why they can't or why bad things happen to them. And again, not everyone's situation is the same, but you are your situation, and how you get out of it and how you handle it is based on you, not anybody else. So we all start with certain circumstances, certain cards that were dealt. I was dealt my fair share of cards that weren't that great, I didn't feel. And I think there was a lot of obstacles in my way, but I made the decision to shape my future the way I wanted it to be, because I didn't want the same like revolving door. So I wanted something else. So I think people have to be honest with themselves, and sometimes people just look for an easy way out by just being able to point fingers and saying, well, because of this and because of that. And it's like, yeah, that happened, but then what? Okay, that happened, but then what? So then what? You just keep letting stuff happen and that's it. You just complain about it. Why don't you make the adjustment and address it so that you can progress and get better with your life? Because at the end of the day, no one's going to care about you the way you care about yourself.
Wow. I feel motivated right now. I feel like I need to go start my YouTube channel.
Who's Tony Robbins again? Who's Tony Robbins? This guy right here. If you need a chat, holler at me. I'm your guy. But yeah, I think we're good. It's time to eat.
Oh my God, it's time to eat.
But tell everybody where they can find you.
You guys can find me at Artistry by Rebecca on Instagram.
And what about the Twitter?
The Twitter's kind of dry. I mean, you can follow me if you want. Swanky Cruise.
Random thoughts on there?
Yeah, it's just random stuff.
Oh, and the last thing I want to say too is, yo, so my teammates who've been acting like I got the plague because I was taking care of you, I'm like, she was sick almost a whole month ago at this point. 2.5 weeks ago, she was clear. Like, what are you guys thinking? If you guys are going by CDC rules, stop the nonsense so we can get this
work. You know, the whole world is going to like comment on this and be like, no, and then yes, and
yeah, and I'm loving it.
They're gonna be like, bro, you're exiled, like you're out for like,
hey,
a year.
I got the antibodies. I have no idea if I really do or not, but I'm just gonna assume I do. So I'm just gonna say I do. But and I'm asymptomatic, maybe. But you have anything else you want to say?
Just be safe, everyone. You know, this is not a joke. It's a joke to people until someone close to you gets sick and things escalate real quick. If anyone has questions or like they want to ask me like any like of the recipes or whatever I did,
yeah,
message me, comment, find me on Instagram. We can talk because I got lonely. We can talk if you want,
fellas. Yeah, no. That's not an invitation.
No creepy messages
to start. Sliding in some creepo DMs. That's not an invitation.
This is the first time I wear makeup and
disclaimer.
Over a month at this point.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Stay safe. We're gonna go celebrate some more 420. Hey, peace.